Welcome to Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered. There's a lot that's taken place over the weekend, but one of those things is that Joe Biden continued to take hits from his own side, okay? From the radicalized mainstream media, not for what you and I are hitting him on, right? Not for his disastrous economic policies, not for his foreign policy failures or the lies that he spewed during his State of the Union address last week, or the dangerous border policy that's resulted in the murder of several Americans, one of whom was 22-year-old Laken Riley. And, you know, so much so that MTG actually forced him to mention Laken Riley during this State of the Union address last week. But he wasn't hit on any of those things. Biden instead was criticized by his own ilk for daring call that murderer an illegal. And here was that moment last week during the State of the Union. Watch.
Laken Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of thousands of people being killed by illegals?
Oh, no, you can't say illegal. No human being is illegal, the left said. So many of them went out on Twitter. No human being is illegal. How dare he call that poor murderous brown man an illegal? You can't say that. Nancy Pelosi, literally right after the State of the Union, her teeth are falling out. She's like, hey, he should have called him undocumented. Okay. Well, Joe Biden finally, after getting hit from all of these leftists, was asked about his categorization of murderer Jose Ibarra as an illegal on MSNBC Saturday. And here is what he had to say for himself.
During your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Laken Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. The reason our economy is growing, we have to control the border and more orderly flow. But I don't share his view at all.
So you regret using that word?
Yes.
My God, we couldn't dare offend this murderer by calling him illegal, which he is, of course. He is an illegal alien who should not have been here and who would not have been here had it not been for Joe Biden's weak border policy. But, you know, I call it weak. Maybe I shouldn't. To you and I, it's weak. We view it as weak, but it's also 100% intentional. So I'm not sure that I can say weak. I'm not sure that I can use that rhetoric. You think it's a coincidence that they're inviting criminals into the country at the same time that they're releasing violent criminals into our streets at the same time they're trying to eliminate your ability to defend yourself? It's not a coincidence. So really, I guess I could say everything is going according to plan for Joe Biden, or at least for the puppeteers controlling him with the puppet strings, controlling the globalist agenda that Joe Biden is at least playing out for them. But in the meantime, don't upset the murderer he led into this country by calling him something that sounds harsh. Don't disrespect him. Joe Biden said, I wouldn't disrespect them like that. Don't disrespect him. We wouldn't want to offend him by calling him what he is, or potentially saying that third world gang member murderers are poisoning the blood of this country. Yeah, they are. And oh, by the way, if you're Joe Biden, as an added bonus, we'll tell him he built this country, which, of course, you know, is complete horseshit. It's not true. Of course, our country was built by European settlers who conquered the Indians, by the way, conquered, didn't steal, conquered. And did they have slaves? Sure. Just like practically every other nation, including those in Africa. But to say that murderous illegal aliens led in by Joe Biden contributed to building this country, I can't think of anything more egregious. And we're supposed to believe Joe Biden when he says They're the reason our economy is growing? Murderous illegal aliens are the reason our economy is growing? As if, like, I don't know, these people are coming here and what? Buying goods and services? Well, they're receiving goods and services, but they're not purchasing them. They're not bringing a more flow of money into the country with their money that they're bringing over and contributing to the economy. No, they're receiving goods and services. They're not purchasing them. You are. You are. The economic ramifications of Joe Biden's open border policy is going to be felt for decades. This is what I keep trying to tell people. You think that it's just right now? You think that it's just bad right now? You think that they're overrunning our cities right now? New York alone says they're going to spend over $12 billion on illegals by 2025. That's right around the corner. I don't know if you guys have noticed. It's March of 2024. By 2025, $12 billion just in New York. Texas, being that we are, of course, we share a border. I don't know. I can't even call it that anymore. We're supposed to have a border. We're supposed to share a border with Mexico. So, of course, we get the brunt of it. Texas spends nearly $825 million every year on illegals who set up shop right after getting fist bumped into the interior of the country by our very own Border Patrol, who really, I guess, I would say is neglecting their actual job and their job title. But I guess it doesn't, it just says Border Patrol. They are somewhat patrolling the border. They're just patrolling the border to allow people in, not keep them out. And to claim that these people built this country and are contributing to our economy, they're the reason our economy is good when we know that it's shit. And we know that even if our economy was good, it is not because of them. These lies are just absolutely unforgivable. And I keep thinking, as I'm listening to this nonsense being spewed, as I'm listening to, you know, squad members be like, no human being is illegal. I'm listening to Nancy Pelosi, like, hey, well, he should have said undocumented. I'm listening to Joe Biden actually, like, he might as well have just said, I'm sorry for what I said. Like, he didn't actually apologize, but he clearly was apologetic about his use of the term illegal. And I'm just sitting here and I'm wondering, like, can you imagine how Lake and Riley's parents feel right now? Can you imagine? You've got an entire political party more concerned with hurting an illegal alien murderer's fifis, hurting his feelings. They're more concerned with that than with the president of the United States getting Laken Riley's name right. That's right, Joe. Say her name. Remember when that was a thing for the left? Say her name, Joe. It isn't Lincoln Riley, you old, incoherent, defecating in your diaper, babbling, drooling idiot. It's Laken. Do you think her loved ones are happy that your priority is not offending the murderer's feelings? Do you think that they sleep better at night knowing he wasn't made to feel uncomfortable? Now, you might not know her name. You might not know Laken Riley's name. You might not know the 22-year-old's name who now will never breathe another breath because of you. You don't know her name, but you want to be sure. You want to be sure that you don't offend a murderer. You think they sleep better at night, Laken Riley's parents, knowing that Jose Ibarra, the murderer, wasn't made to feel uncomfortable? And I keep going back to, like, I remember a time in which Donald Trump was raked across the coals for saying what is inarguable fact here in 2024. Okay. June 2015, he said, when Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. True. They're not sending you. True. They're sending people that have lots of problems and they're bringing those problems with them. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people. True. July 2015. I can never apologize for the truth. I don't mind apologizing for things, but I can't apologize for the truth. I said tremendous crime is coming across. Everybody knows that's true. And it's happening all the time. So why, when I mention all of a sudden I'm a racist? I'm not a racist. I don't have a racist bone in my body. Okay. Again, in 2015. What can be simpler or more accurately stated? The Mexican government is forcing their most unwanted people into the United States. They are, in many cases, criminals, drug dealers, rapists, etc. And aside from him saying the Mexican government is forcing their most unwanted people into the United States, where is the lie? Where is it? We have record levels of fentanyl coming in, poisoning the blood of our country. We're importing third world criminals who have no intention of assimilating because they're savages. Yes, that's right. Media Matters. Quote me on this. I said it. Come at me. I dare you. We are importing third world savages who don't give a shit about our laws and our way of life. Why would they? We have taught them not to. By their very entry into this country, why would they? Come in and we'll give you free stuff. We'll even let you murder our children. And after that, after you've killed our people, we'll make sure that we don't disrespect your name by admitting that you are here, in fact, illegally. There is no other way to describe this behavior than traitorous. None. And honestly, at this point, it's March of 2024. Honestly, I hope Joe Biden and the mainstream media and the rest of the left keep this talk up. I hope they keep doing this right up on until November in the election so they can continue to put on display exactly how little they care about Americans at the end of the day. It is just absolutely a disgrace. All right. Let's go ahead and I'm going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, I want to get into, speaking of third world countries and savages, I want to get into what is going on in Haiti. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Preborn. So look, we, if you're watching this program, you probably feel very strongly about the pro-life cause. And we can sit here and we can talk about it all we want. But the fact of the matter is, as we sit here today, the lives of babies still in the womb hang in the balance. And I want to talk to you about Preborn. Okay, the Ministry of Preborn empowers young expectant mothers in crisis to actually choose life. They've rescued hundreds of thousands of babies' lives through ultrasound. And when a woman considering abortion visits one of their Preborn centers, she actually gets to do something that the left is not doing for her. Okay, they're lying to her and they're telling her, that's just a clump of cells, don't worry. Well, what she actually does as Preborn is learn the truth through ultrasound. And she gets to hear the baby's heartbeat. And I don't know if you guys are parents, but you know, if you're a parent, once you hear those things, especially with your first child, once you actually hear those things, you hear your baby's heartbeat, you see your baby on ultrasound, it is like a divine encounter. And most of the time, when a woman at a preborn center actually gets to see her baby, she chooses life instead. So I believe it's $28 is the cost of an ultrasound. So if you can sponsor one ultrasound a month, two ultrasounds a month, however much you can contribute and sponsor, just know that your money is going to literally save babies' lives. I cannot think of anything more noble. You can donate securely by going to preborn.com/Sarah. That is preborn.com/Sarah. So over the weekend, caught my eye on what was going on in Haiti. And I am not what I would call a Haitian expert. But from what I saw, at the end of the week last week, there were protesters that were like gathering in the streets in Haiti, setting things on fire, demanding the resignation of their prime minister, Ariel Henry. And they were setting fire to tires. And so the Haitian government set a curfew. And they were like bracing themselves for a lot more violence, and that they received because now apparently who's leading Haiti is a gang leader known as Barbecue. That is a nickname, I believe, because what he likes to do to his enemies is set them on fire. So the prime minister is gone. He's in Puerto Rico. Barbecue is running the show. And we have videos that were surfacing on X that showed that this gang was participating in cannibalism. Lots of weird stuff going on in Haiti, so much so that the United States military took action over the weekend in response to all of this violence, and non-essential personnel were evacuated from the United States embassy due to all the violent gang activity aided at seizing control of the city. The gangs have attacked the country's main international airport. They've attacked their police stations. They've looted the ports and buildings and blocked shipments of humanitarian aid. And a lot of not so good things going on in Haiti. A lot of violence escalating throughout the globe, in fact, it seems like. And I wanted to bring on my friend Chad Prather, host of the Chad Prather Show, to discuss. Chad, I mentioned, I'm not a Haitian expert. I'm not like a third world expert. And I was like, who can talk about this stuff? I know Chad, because he's literally been everywhere and done everything. What the hell's going on in Haiti?
You made a comment a second ago. You said there's weird stuff going on in Haiti. Well, for Haiti, that's just called stuff.
That's a good point.
It's so we used to do a lot of work with Haitians in the Miami area, the little Haiti area. We worked with a lot of churches there, immigrants who had come over, and the stories that they told about their homeland in Haiti. Just the godlessness of it, the worldview, the violence, the just, you know, fill in the blank there. It's not good. It's not good. Now, what we're seeing with this is chaos is ruling the day, is running things. And these are people with no conscience. These are people with no moral center. These are violent, violent people. We talk about extremism in America. Americans, by and large, don't know what extremism truly is. They've been sheltered in this first world, very privileged culture that we've enjoyed. But when you look at Haiti and you look at man's inhumanity to man, the absolute lack of any sense of value for human life, you take what you can get, anything that stands in your way, you murder it. And again, you're talking about is a place that is in many ways ruled with a religious fervor, voodoo, black magic, white magic. I mean, these people are into some really crazy things, not to mention ritualistic things that you, as you mentioned, cannibalism even. But let's point to the bigger implications, if those aren't big enough. Okay. This is the seventh embassy, American embassy, that's had to be evacuated globally under this administration. This we are literally pandering to a squad driven administration, a progressive leftist ideology that lives in a fantasy illusion world that props up a dementia in chief president. This guy has no clue about foreign policy. I have no idea what the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken's doing. I think he's sitting around in the first row of pretty much every crowd that Joe Biden goes to make sure that he doesn't pop off with a gaffe that, you know, puts us into a nuclear war. We've pandered to this thing, and now we're seeing the implications of this administration happen on a global scale. Absolute impotence in regards to this. I mean, where's the Clintons? Didn't the Clintons say that that Haiti was their life's work? I would say this pretty much is very fitting of a legacy by Bill and Hillary Clinton. What's happening is horrible. It's tragic. It is inhumane. It's sad to watch this unfold. But look, we're at a place now where we've become hopeless, helpless, impotent. The American government does absolutely nothing on a global scale. When this should be a wake-up call to everybody who should realize that if and when America falls, this is what you're going to see worldwide on a global scale. It's going to happen here in America. Oh, and by the way, Sarah, just wait and see, because I'm never wrong on these things. I'm never wrong. I want to be wrong on this. Wait and see how many Haitian refugees suddenly enter this country with our current policies, all under the name of humanitarian aid and relief. Watch.
I mean, they that's a great point, Chad, because they already have been before all of this happened. So, I don't know. I just look. Remember back when Donald Trump referred to Haiti as a shithole country, and the left like reverberated and, oh my gosh, I can't believe he would say that. That is so racist. You're not allowed to say Haiti is a shithole country. And now it's like, well, I mean, they're just like, they just kill people and set them on fire when they disagree on something that they said. I personally wouldn't want to live there. That kind of sounds like a shithole to me. I don't know. Maybe my bar is too high.
Yeah, I've been a lot of places around this world. I can assure you that if you look up shithole in the dictionary, Haiti is right there. It's not a good place. It hasn't been a good place. But you watch and see what happens. They'll spin this thing. This will be some form of this will be because of white oppression or white privilege or something like that that has triggered all of this. And we'll feel sorry for, we'll have some sort of empathy for these gang members who are violently murdering. And let me tell you something. What the media is showing you, the scenes like folks are watching right here on this program, they pale in comparison to the violence that's truly happening. It's an atrocity. What is happening in Haiti? It's heartbreaking because where do you go from here? I mean, you know, they have a president who is a neurosurgeon. He's a smart person, right? Can't even come back into his country. He's landed in the Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. The president of the Dominican Republic says, nope, it's not safe for you to be here either. So this is going to be an interesting story to watch unfold, but it's going to be far more tragic in the long run, because this is going to result in a mass loss of life.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not you mentioned it earlier, Chad. It's not just Haiti. It's like the global unrest that we have seen in so many different places while Joe Biden is in charge. And it's just like, I don't know. I mean, I always felt like the United States being strong and projecting strength to other countries, I always knew was important. But I feel like I never really realized how important it was until Joe Biden became the president. And now we see the result of such a weak foreign policy. It's like, oh, wow, I knew we were important, but I didn't realize how important we were, because we're seeing all of this global unrest. You mentioned, I didn't know there were 7 embassies, but I mean, you know, you see what's going on with Ukraine, you see what's going on with Israel and Iran, you see now what's going on in Haiti, you see all of these different, you see China and Taiwan. I mean, you really, really see, if Joe Biden has shown us anything, it is the importance of projecting strength from the United States. Otherwise, it seems to be that everywhere across the globe just starts to fall apart.
Yeah. Last year when I had Tim Kennedy on my show, I asked him, I said, well, what are you doing this weekend? He said, well, I'm actually headed home. I'm getting a bunch of cash and I'm going to Sudan because we got 4,000 people we've got to evacuate. If you remember last year, the Sudanese American embassy in Sudan, they had to evacuate that. It's again, you're watching this thing unravel because America has literally been the adhesive glue that holds the globe together. You lose America, which is exactly what the Obama administration and now Obama 2.0 with Joe Biden's administration is exactly what they wanted to do. You know, Trump, we'd be even further towards leveling the whole deal if it hadn't been for Trump. Trump was a major hiccup in their plan because Hillary was supposed to be a continuation of the nonsense. And of course, we see what happened. So my God, people, you got to. And listen, I'll say this. I don't care if you like Trump, don't like Trump. I don't care. America doesn't survive. Yeah. The globe doesn't survive another 4 years of this nonsense. It just will absolutely not survive. God forbid that it gets even worse under somebody who actually has an ego and wants to be hands-on in bringing in the advent of full-blown communism like Gavin Newsom. We can't survive this. We cannot survive this. So if you're sitting on the fence saying, oh, I'm not participating in the election this year, stop it. It's dumb rhetoric. You got to get involved. We got to overwhelm this algorithm. The globe literally depends on it. And that's not me being overly excitable here, but I mean, damn.
Yeah, I mean, well, you need no further evidence than what is happening before our very eyes to convince you. Like, don't take Chad's word for it. Don't take my word for it. Just go look around you. You'll see it with your very own eyes, how important it is to participate.
Every big city in America. Look at every big city in America. Do you understand their powder kegs? The big cities in America are going to look like Haiti. How long is it going to take before that type of gang violence is happening right here in the United States of America? It's already happening. So here we are. This is what we're dealing with.
You're right. And I mean, I talked about Lake and Riley earlier. It's just like, I mean, for all that I have seen, it seems to be that this guy was Venezuelan. I know his brother is a confirmed gang member. Seems to be that this guy was too. And he just killed her for fun. Because that's what they do in third world shithole countries. They're not coming here to assimilate.
Yeah, just like what was it last week? They found somebody's head in a tree in New York, in a park in New York City. And then they found the arm over there and the leg over there and then another person's arm over there. And they said, hey, it's gang violence. Boy, they're not talking about that stuff anymore.
Right.
But here it is.
Right. Right. Exactly. Chad, come back soon.
All right. I will.
Okay. All right. Love you.
I love you.
All right. See ya. All right, we got to take a quick break, but first we want to thank our sponsor, this segment, Relief Factor. So if you are one of millions of Americans, you just live in constant pain, you think that that's the way that your life is, and you're just like, well, I'm just going to go through the motions, just constantly in pain, and just kind of maybe a little grumpy all the time. Don't do that. Try Relief Factor. It is all natural, but it was developed by doctors, and it actually targets the inflammation in your body, which most people don't realize that is the root cause of your pain most of the time. It's the inflammation. So you know, you can put a topical cream on it and that'll feel good for 10 minutes and then you're going to be in pain again. Or you can try Relief Factor. So what they've done is that they have a 3-week quick start pack. 70% of the people who try it go on to keep ordering more. So the odds are in your favor that it will work for you. And if it doesn't, it comes with a feel better or your money back guarantee. So you've got nothing to lose but your pain. Try it. You can go to relieffactor.com. Get that 3-week quick start over at relieffactor.com. All right, joining me now is Steve Baker, Blaze Media's investigative reporter, along with Stu Bergier, host of Stu Does America. I wanted to bring you guys on to talk about the latest with January 6th, which, by the way, Steve, nice hat.
Hey, thank you. Oh, that's right. I wore my insurrection-y hat today. This actually has been in the Capitol for 37 minutes, according to the FBI.
Wow. And I will say, before we get into this January 6th story, we were talking off air, and Stu was like, I did try to watch your full video of your time at the Capitol, but it just got too boring, and I had to turn it off.
Worst action movie ever. No Oscars awarded. Nothing happens. He doesn't knife anyone in the hallway, unless I skipped over it. There were a couple sections I had to skip because It was a lot of Steve just doing. Which is exciting, Steve. I mean, there's no one wants to watch anyone text more than I want to watch you text, but... there wasn't a lot going on there.
That's how I lived 98% of my life, actually.
Yeah. It's just in your phone. Right. So you've got a hearing coming up this week.
Yeah, on Thursday. It's just a Zoom hearing, so I don't have to go to D.C., but it's with a D.C. magistrate. And it's just basically the same thing we did here in Dallas without the leg chains.
Yeah, that's great. Congrats on, we're moving on up. No more leg chains.
Well, we don't know that
yet.
For sure.
Yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm glad that you at least can keep a sense of humor about it. And
I'm trying.
Yeah, I'm glad.
I haven't slept in 2 days, so I'm a little punch drunk right now.
Okay. All right. That's fine. It'll be for good TV. So the latest is that you guys are going to be shocked to hear this. Liz Cheney, who of course headed the January 6th committee, apparently suppressed evidence that Donald Trump pushed for 10,000 National Guard troops to protect the Capitol, as shown in a previously hidden transcript that was, I believe the Federalist was the first one to put this out there. So Cheney and her committee falsely claimed that they had, quote, no evidence, end quote, to support Trump's officials' claims that the White House had obviously, they were like, guys, we want more National Guard troops before January 6th. Let's bring in additional support. And an early transcribed interview conducted by the committee included that evidence from a key source. And then apparently they like redacted a bunch of stuff and tried to keep it from the public actually knowing, because that would hurt the narrative. That would hurt the narrative that Donald Trump planned this. Donald Trump provoked it. Donald Trump participated in it. They couldn't do that because it would contradict that narrative. And so they hit it. Are you shocked? Are you shocked? Are you also shocked to hear that apparently, remember Cassidy Hutchinson's claims that Donald Trump, tried to reach up from the table whenever they talked about National Guard troops. And she reached up and they had to interject. There was about to be violence. Yeah, it turns out that was not corroborated either. It's almost like they just made up a bunch of stuff.
They make up a lot of things, but it's more what they leave out. Mm-hmm. That's the important part. You talked about the redacted statements and all that. There are redacted boxes. I'm talking about 80 to 100 boxes of additional paperwork from this unselect committee that the House Administration Committee has. And I've begged for the opportunity through my sources to get access to it. Haven't been granted that yet, but hopefully one day I'll be able to go in there and start sifting through myself.
Yeah, I mean, we saw, that would be amazing, Steve. We saw look, the parts that I remember are they put together a video timeline of that day. And I remember them leaving out particular parts of it. You know, so they were the lies by omission, I would say. So, I mean, we knew that they were leaving things out, trying to push this narrative. But it's just it's frustrating for me because it's like, shouldn't they receive some sort of retribution for that? Like what's Liz Cheney's retribution? She gets to go retire and live out the rest of her life happily and unbothered.
Well, she was forced into retirement. That's, I guess, part of the that's part of the punishment. But yeah, I mean, it's—I don't know that anyone took that.
That's not enough.
No,
being forced into retirement is not enough for me.
Right, it's enough. Look, if you want to take that stance and lose a primary, that's a consequence. But it's not a consequence for withholding from the American people important evidence. When you're saying this is like the most important thing that's happened since the Civil War, right? I think this is a
the biggest threat to our democracy.
Yeah, and I don't know that anyone's surprised. Like, I certainly wasn't surprised when I heard this news today.
You weren't?
I was not surprised.
Really?
That, I know. It's okay. I was not surprised that they withheld information, but I am surprised at how, like, ballsy it is. Like, they just don't even seem to care. Like, they don't even see. Like, usually when you try to do stuff like this, you're trying to hide it, you're covering your tracks, you're doing all these things. It doesn't seem like that stuff happened at all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. I go back to the beginning of this and wonder if, you know, maybe the Republicans should have been more aggressive having someone on that committee and trying to push back against these things in real time. I understand why they said this is a joke, we're not going to participate in it. But maybe if they had someone on the committee, maybe they could have poked some holes in this at the time. At the end of this, though, really, the committee means nothing, right? At the end of this, the committee does all this information, and yet they still wait another year to charge Donald Trump with anything because they didn't care about any of this if he didn't run for president, right? Like, if he didn't run for president, he probably wouldn't have been charged. They waited until he got into the middle of this so they could have all this stuff going on in the middle of the election period. And, of course, that's their real goal. They want him gone forever. And, you know... Sorry, Steve. There are some people who are going to be, sideline fired of this, right? Like, get caught in the crossfire of it, and they want to punish anyone involved.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, they not only are we talking about the redacted documents, withheld documents, the lies of omission and things of that nature, but they do double down when it's, yes. So they're caught. I mean, this time they're caught with their hands in the cookie jar. There's a bunch of us that knew that this existed. If you read Cash Patel's book, you knew. Mm-hmm. If you know anything about Cash, he's a pretty serious guy. Mm-hmm. I took him something one time, and he didn't buy it. And this was something that would have supported his narrative, supported his guy. And he was like, nope, I'm not taking that. But yeah. By the way, he's still wrong about it. I'm gonna get him the evidence he needs to come over to my side. But the point being is that there is this is happening all the time because I mean Liz Cheney came out and this is BS. This is BS. She's just denying it,
right.
They don't care.
They don't. And I think that that's the most frustrating thing. And by the way, I'm getting my lies about Donald Trump mixed up. It was the lie about Cassidy Hutchinson was that he jumped up and tried to take control of the wheel of the car whenever the Secret Service denied him like entry to the Capitol or one of the things that was going on January 6th. That was the lie. They lie about him so often. Like I get my stories mixed up. But the thing that is so frustrating to me is that they really do. They double down because they don't care. But why don't they care? Because nothing happens. Mm. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're what are the history books going to reflect? What are our children going to read in history when they go through what happened on this day? They're going to read about the committee. They're going to read about the J6 committee. They're going to read about the committee's findings. And that's what they're going to read. That's it.
There was a big document came out today, almost 100 pages, released by Barry Loudermilk and his oversight subcommittee on January 6th. There's no exculpatory information. There's no big bombshells in there. But he's basically letting the public know we are working on this finally. And it is slow, slow, slow going. But I will tell you, this is exactly what Barry Loudermilk told me 7 o'clock yesterday morning, sitting in the parking lot here at Blaze while I was waiting for somebody to open the door and let me in because I've been driving all night to get here.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. I've got to get my key fob up.
Yeah, I was going to say, why don't you have a key fob, Steve?
I do, but it only lets me in during weekdays. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I on the phone with them, they said, okay, what we're putting out today, we're going to crack the door open for you, and tomorrow you can kick it in. Mm.
Oh, I love that.
Hint.
Okay. Okay. Wait, so when are we kicking it in?
Couple days.
All right. Oh, very interesting.
Oh my gosh. Now I'm really excited.
Yeah. I mean, and I think it's important, right? These developments are important. I was talking to Glenn a little bit about this earlier today, and we were talking about just the politics of it. And it's like, it's interesting to see what you can do with this, because if the answer to, well, January 6th was bad and Trump was involved is, well, actually January 6th wasn't bad at all, I don't think it's going to work on the average voter.
I don't think that's what anyone is saying, though.
I've heard some people say that. I think why Steve's work is so important is we have to show factual inaccuracies here. We have to show step by step. It can't be this sort of like, well, it wasn't that bad, or, well, you know, because people remember it as a traumatic event in American history. And I think that's a fair way of remembering it. But it's just more complicated than that. And to watch this sort of play out, you can see where they're going, right? They want democracy is on the ballot, right? They keep saying this over and over and over again. They're going to come after this Donald Trump on this stuff. And, like, you know, they can't even get their narrative straight. There was some story that came out today, I think it was the New York Times that broke it, which said, Donald Trump's driver told him he had to take him to the Capitol. And this was part of Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony as well, where they were saying that this was a big part of this. And it's like, well, their complaint for the first year was that he was so afraid he just hid in the White House. And they kept saying, well, he didn't want anything to do with that. He's a scaredy cat. He didn't want anything to do with it. He sent his other people down to the Capitol. And then their narrative completely switched to he wanted to be down there so badly, he's an insurrectionist. Yeah. They can't even make their mind up. They just keep throwing this against the wall. Will it work? I mean, it could.
Yeah.
I really hope it doesn't, because at this point, I don't think it's based on much of anything.
Well, that's why I think, Steve, your work is so important, because that what you're doing is going to be what causes history to be written accurately, rather than taking the J6 committee report and putting it in for our kids. I mean, your work is what is going to turn the tides on that. So I appreciate it.
Well, it's not just me. I mean, there's some really good people out there doing this. And, you know, Julie Kelly, Darren Beatty, Joe Hanneman, Epic Times, he's the best of the best. I work together with as many of them as I can to advance this because we are waiting on Congress, and because Congress has some problems. I mean, Congress has
really
well.
You don't say.
I'm not talking just even within Congress itself. Right. There are exterior forces working against all of us, slow rolling us, blockading us, keeping us from the documents, the information that we need. We're not talking about, as I said before, just redacted documents. There, people do not want us seeing these videos, and they're powerful individuals.
Huh. I wonder why that could be. It's almost like if you saw the documents, you would realize that they were lying about many things the entire time. But I don't know. That's just a crazy conspiracy theory, so I won't get into that. All right, guys, hang with me. We got to take a break, and then we'll be back with more. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Qualia Senolytics. So I don't know if you've heard about Senolytics yet, but it's a class of ingredients discovered less than 10 years ago, and they're actually being called the biggest discovery of our time for promoting healthy aging and enhancing your physical prime. So I don't know. If someone would have told me that there are science-backed ingredients that could help me feel 15 years younger in a matter of months, I wouldn't have believed it. But I've tried Qualia Senolytic, and it works, all right? As we age, everyone accumulates these what they call senescent cells in the body, and senescent cells cause it's the typical symptoms of aging that you feel, right? Like, you get aches, you get pains, you're slower to recover from your workout, you've got a little bit more sluggish mental and physical energy. And the best part for me especially is that you can take it just 2 days a month. I don't remember to take medication. I don't remember to take like pills or so. I'm so excited, I'm moving my mic. I don't remember to take pills or supplements or anything like that, but I don't have to because it's just 2 days a month. It's GMO, vegan, gluten-free, and look, they've got a money-back guarantee, so you've got nothing to lose here. Resist aging at the cellular level. Try Qualia Senolytic over at neurohacker.com/Sarah for up to $100 off. Use code Sarah at checkout for an additional 15% off. That is neurohacker.com/Sarah. I think a congratulations is in order, gentlemen. Joe Biden signed a $459 billion spending plan over the weekend. Yay! Woo! No, Steve?
No.
No clapping? So they rejected. It was a 75-22 vote in the Senate. And of course, they rejected numerous conservative-backed amendments. I want to read to you what Rand Paul said about it. He said there was bipartisan consensus to, of course, just keep adding to the national debt. He said, a lot of people don't understand this. They think that there is no cooperation in Washington, and the opposite is true. There is compromise every day on every spending bill. It's compromise between big government Democrats and big government Republicans. And I just want to read to you guys. He put out a press release of, this was just 10 examples of more than 6,000 earmarks that was in this. It was over 605 pages, which I guarantee you none of these senators actually read the entirety of the bill. So here are some. $4 million for a waterfront walkway in New Jersey. $3.5 million for Detroit's Thanksgiving Parade Floatmaker's new headquarters. Oh boy, congratulations, Detroit. $1.75 million for the Met in New York City. That's, of course, the Metropolitan Museum of Art. $1 million for an environmental justice center in New York City, because who doesn't need an environmental justice center in their city HQ? $500,000 for gardens in San Francisco. $1 million to a nonprofit in Minnesota to build a coffee shop and a greenhouse for refugees. $1 million to help San Francisco organic dairy farmers. $500,000 for a cybercrime vehicle for the Honolulu Police Department. $1.2 million for bike path resurfacing in Rhode Island. And $209,000 for HVAC replacement for the Charlestown Opera House in West Virginia.
What?
So your money is going to great use in all of these spending bills. And I'm so glad that he pointed out, again, that was 10. There are over 6,000 of those earmarks in this particular bill, because I guess that's just what it's all about, is like, all right, sweeten the deal with a program for my town and I'll sign on to it. Screw America. Screw Americans. Screw our kids and our kids' kids and our kids' kids' kids. Screw them. I get a HVAC replacement for my opera house in West Virginia, so it's fine.
Huge demand for opera in West Virginia, too.
I was a little stunned right there. When you put those two phrases together, West Virginia and Opera House, it just didn't work for me.
By the way, this is a compliment to West Virginia. Opera sucks, okay? So this is not knocking them. It's funny, like, could you even come up with a justification for the town government to have input into the HVAC positioning of an opera house in Charlestown?
No.
Or the state or the county? No. And the federal government, it's completely insane. I'm glad you brought this up, because we on tonight's show, which we're lineup buddies now,
yes.
Coming up next on Blaze TV, we go into the deficit and kind of picking apart Joe Biden's claim from the State of the Union about how he says he saved us $1 trillion, which I struggle to find.
Really?
Yeah, we go through how he justifies that. And it's, of course, a lie, as you would imagine. But it's so fascinating how screwed we are. We talk about stuff where we're screwed a lot. We are completely, it's unfixable when it comes to the economy, especially with the crew that we have now, because we've come to this place where we used to have a situation where it was like the Democrats saying they wanted to spend a lot more and the Republicans saying they didn't want to spend a lot more, and then until they got into office, and then they would spend a lot more. Now we just have both parties completely ignoring it and both saying they're going to spend more. Mm-hmm. And it's getting worse and worse and worse by the day, and it's so unsustainable. I have Brian Riedel on. He's a budget expert. He said something like 2/3 of our tax dollars are going to be going just to the interest on the debt we've already acquired. Ugh. And this is within the decade. We are in serious trouble.
We could have 2/3 less taxes?
In theory. In theory, yes.
See, this is why I stand with Rand, all right? Anybody that's followed my work for years knows that Rand is my spirit animal, politically speaking. And this list and his annual Festivus list of, you know, grievances is why that he needs to be the leader of the Senate.
I agree.
But is he going for that, by the way? I saw his Twitter poll.
He had the poll, and I think he was, you know, floating a trial balloon there.
Yeah, I think so, too.
And, of course, I took it. Sinker.
He'd be great, because he would say no to everything.
Yes.
And that's what I want. I want someone who's going to say no to everything. And occasionally, if something gets through, then it's a mistake. Like, that's yeah. I mean, they just, everything they touch, sir, they mess up. And it's like, to watch these guys do this year after year. I mean, Rand Paul used to be a really fiscally responsible Republican. Now he's almost standing alone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
why I wonder if he would even have a shot.
Yeah, I don't think he would. I would love it, but in reality, like they would much rather put a guy like John Cornyn in charge because John Cornyn will approve every one of those earmarks.
Put that into the ether.
He's putting it into the ether. No. That's the problem. No, and he's a catastrophe. No. He's a bad senator for any state, but he's in Texas.
I know.
I don't know how that's possible. So, I mean, I would much rather have Rand Paul 100 out of 100 times. I'm very skeptical of his actual chances of it, though.
I hope that he puts his name in the hat and just lets the process play out and fights for it valiantly because we do need him. It is fascinating to watch all of this. You know, you mentioned it, Stu, and Rand Paul said it in his quote there about bipartisanship. And it's like, I agree. We need someone to say no. It's like with children, right? Like you have these children, they're going to run all over you if you don't learn to say no. The same is unfortunately true with Congress. You need someone at the top to lead them and guide them and know when you have to say no and use that word as often as possible. That's how I parent my children. I love saying the word no. And, you know, it's like, it's also like, that's not their money. It's our money. So it's okay to say no, especially when you consider that bipartisanship would mean working with a very, very radical party. I mean, the party of the left is not the party that it was 15, 20 years ago. I mean, they are trying to abort babies up until the point of birth. They're trying to advocate for children to chop off their body parts. They are, you know, in the name of gender affirming care. They are trying to lead us into World War III with Ukraine. They are trying to, you know, allow an influx of unvetted strangers into the interior of the country at the border. Like, these are not people that I have anything in common with. And I actually don't want bipartisanship with them. I just don't. And I feel like it sounds, I think it sounds foreign to people when they think of like, well, no, obviously we want bipartisanship, but we're not living in those days anymore. At least, I don't know, in my opinion. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more. Remember the writer at Deadspin that defamed the young child at the Chiefs game?
Oh, yeah.
I believe his name is Karen Phillips. I think he pronounces it Karen, but I'm just going to continue to call him Karen. You guys, please shed a tear, okay, for Karen Phillips. He is now unemployed after the collapse of Deadspin.
No.
Yeah, they're gone. No. We lost them. They're gone. So. They're gone. They're gone. Oh, God, they're gone. Karen is now unemployed. I'm just, moment of silence. Okay, that's enough.
It was a long one. That was actually longer than I was expecting. Is it directly related to the Chiefs kid? I kind of hope it is. But no, I guess that some other company bought them and just fired everybody.
Yeah, and just fired everybody. They're like, actually.
Wasn't a lawsuit involved with this one, like the Sandman kid?
Well, I think that there was a lawsuit that was pending, or at least the parents had signaled that they had hired attorneys and were pursuing a lawsuit. So maybe they were like, man, let's just, I don't know, we'll just fire everyone and maybe you can just not sue us.
That's interesting.
But it couldn't have happened to a more deserving group of people.
It's true. It's like, you know, a leftist media organization going out of business is like somewhat satisfying in a dark way. But like when it's this brand of it, like with this like really wise ass, we're better than you, look at everyone else failing and then they fail. Gawker was like this. Vice is very much down the all these places. Like, you know, how many times did they say the Blaze was going to fail over the years?
Right.
I don't know. We're still here.
We're still standing and Karen Phillips is unemployed. Bummer. All right. Thank you guys for being here. Steve Baker, Stuber here. Appreciate you.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.